Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante, along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we were taking a look at the roster on the offensive side in quarter number two. It's quarter number three. So that means we go to the other side of the ball. We go to the defense. And let's start with the defensive line. And right in the middle, let's go right to defensive tackle, where thank goodness P.J. Mustafa is coming back. And fingers crossed he's healthy, right?
Yeah, without knowing the specifics of what happened with him, the exact nature of the injury that he suffered, you don't know whether he's ready in the spring, he's ready in the summer. Could it linger into the season? We don't know any of that, and chances are we'll never get an explanation of that. So in terms of trying to guesstimate where P.J. Mustafa is going to be percentage-wise when they kick off the 2022 season, that is absolutely anybody's guess. This is where we're at with Penn State football. This is nothing new with the injury. So let's just work off the assumption that he's mostly back to form that he showed last year. Huge addition no matter what, because he is a rare athlete. You know, he to be 6'4 and 320 pounds and move the way that he does, I mean, he's a true NFL prospect. And I really believe that if he doesn't get injured last year, he's probably in that high round conversation. You're probably talking about him the same whether you're talking about your Jaquan Brisker and you know, players like that, and Brandon Smith. So I think P.J. Mustafa, you know, getting hurt, it really hurt this team in 2021, but he wouldn't be back if it weren't for that in 2022. So there's the silver lining. And I think this rotation, you know, you have a little bit of margin for error with the rest of the rotation because you've got somebody who can do it all. He can penetrate, he can occupy blocks, he can win with power, he can win with speed. So having that piece back is huge. And that's something that they missed a lot, you know, after he was hurt last year. Even with Derek Tangelo in the lineup, Penn State missed that. You know, you don't have somebody, you didn't have somebody in the center of Penn State's defense that you absolutely had to account for if you're an offensive coordinator. Now let's assume that that's back. And with him, you know, missing time last year, came some benefits because other guys had to get involved. And that can be something that also benefits this team next year.
Who do you like for that other tackle position? There's several names you could throw out there. Who's your favorite?
I really think Keziah Izzard is on a development track to have the highest ceiling of the rest of that group. I like what he brought to the table. I loved him as a high school player coming out. He was one of those guys who, you know, Penn State hasn't recruited and signed a whole bunch of defensive linemen that Alabama also wanted. And Keziah Izzard is one of those guys. You saw somebody who could be a big defensive end or who could be a quick defensive tackle whose size is no problem. So I think last year he's somebody who can take all that game experience, which is more than he would have gotten otherwise, and really, really build upon that. You know, you figure you take a guy with his physical ability and you give him a chance to watch all that film, to pinpoint areas that he struggled, to, you know, understand the techniques a little bit better, to be able to kind of process what he went through last year. There is an opportunity, I think, for Keziah Izzard to have some explosive growth. So a healthy P.J. Mustafa and an improved Keziah Izzard is a really, really good start at that defensive tackle spot. And I don't think they run deep with a lot of proven options, but I think who's in the ballpark for that top four, you know, I think that's a pretty comfortable group when you're looking at P.J. Mustafa, Keziah Izzard, Devon Ellis, and maybe Jordan Vandenberg is that next guy up. Or maybe it's Hakeem Beamon coming back from wherever he was off to, being unavailable and playing on the scout team. So if Vandenberg or Beamon or both of them come back and they you know, they are legitimate players at defensive tackle, this rotation could be pretty good. I still think Penn State will be in the market to find a veteran who's just kind of like Derek Tangelo, who could booster that top four.
Now let's go outside. Let's go to the defensive ends, where both Ibukete and Jesse Lucada are gone. Both surprises last year of how well they both played. You got to replace both of them. But just like on the inside where P.J. Mustafa is coming back, we have Adisa Isaac coming back as one of the defensive ends. The thought is his injury happened a while ago. I believe they're even saying he should be ready for full go in the spring. That would be a huge help to the defensive ends.
And I think that's a good way to look at it. Is if you're looking at in this day and age of athletics and college football, you know, major knee injuries, you're looking at 12 months or so, you know, 10 to 12 months to be fully on the comeback trail. So that would put Adisa Isaac certainly in the conversation for the spring. If he's full strength, it goes a long way toward answering a bunch of questions at defensive end. It's really difficult to lose players of the caliber of Jesse Luketa and Arnold Ebiketie. And the pressure that they were able to put on quarterbacks, even if they didn't get home to him. So Adisa Isaac can be that guy. You know, the way that everybody was talking about this kid and what you saw from him, you know, had that kind of like Odafe Owe coming out of high school. I think Adisa Isaac from Brooklyn or the Bronx. I can't remember which, but had that reputation of being high physical upside, but still just a little bit of raw and a little bit, you know, need some experience to really kind of take his game to the next level. I think that's where he can be in 2022. So to get him back brings a candidate anyway, a good candidate to be an impact player. And that's exactly what you need out of somebody from this defensive end rotation. I like Nick Tarburton as much as anybody, but I don't know if he's the guy who's going to be a true blue impact player, terrorize quarterbacks. I'm not sure that that's his game. I think what you'll see from him is probably very, very stout against the run, super smart, can pressure quarterbacks with some power moves and things like that. But I don't really think you're looking at Nick Tarburton as a 7, 8, 9 sack guy. And that's fine. I don't think he needs to be necessarily. But you do need somebody who can be that guy. And Adisa Isaac looks like a really good candidate. They've got some young guys who, you know, I think the challenge is going to be there. The challenge is on for Zariah Fisher, Smith Vilbert, and that group to take a big leap forward. And there's going to be opportunities to join this rotation if somebody can prove that they're ready for it. So I like the group. I still think, you know, maybe they'd be better off with getting another veteran involved here, kind of like defensive tackle, where you like the young guys, but I think maybe a little bit more stability and experience would be helpful.
And several of those names you gave, they came from those classes where we said there's a lot of guys here, a lot of potential, not guys who are going to step right in, but in a couple years, they'll be stepping up. And I've said this before among that group, now is the time for them to step up. You mentioned the possibility of the veteran from a transfer portal candidate coming in. How about the true freshman, though, Denai Dennis Sutton? I know he didn't come in early like several of the other players, but boy, he looks like a kind of guy who might just be ready to step right onto the college field and make a difference.
In my mind, if you say Adisa Isaac and Nick Tarburton are 1 and 2 at defensive end, it's hard to dispute that at this point. I know a lot can change between now and then. Denai Dennis Sutton, to me, would be the third best defensive end. If he was on the roster right now, he'd be the third best player in this group, with potential for more than that. So I absolutely believe he can follow that Yetur Gross-Matos road. I compared him to Yetur Gross-Matos. Same kind of physical structure, built the same way. I don't think a player who's necessarily going to blow your mind with his get-off speed, but who has some savvy and has some strength, is fast enough, can be moved around a little bit. He really validated his athleticism more and more after his senior season ended at the All-American Bowl. So this is a guy who can absolutely play as a true freshman and burn his redshirt, just like Gross-Matos did a few years ago. In fact, I would actually really be surprised if Denai Dennis Sutton is not part of this rotation by week one. This coming year, Yetur Gross-Matos didn't enroll early either. And I think he was physically far along enough and had such a good idea of how to play the game, had a diverse enough set of pass rush moves that he could be a difference maker, even as a true freshman. I think all of those things are also true for Denai Dennis Sutton.
Yeah, I would not be concerned about burning his red shirt. I think he'd be a guy that you want him to play. There's a good chance he's not even there for the 4 years, let alone 5.
Absolutely.
The The other position I'm really concerned about, Dusty, is linebacker. You lost two starters in Ellis Brooks and Brandon Smith. And I'll even say Jesse Lucchese here, you lost him because when one of the linebackers was out, Lucchese became the next linebacker. So you really only have one linebacker in Curtis Jacobs that at least I have any confidence in.
Yeah, and I think it's great to wish upon a star with the young players. And I think, you know, Kobe King, if everything you have seen and heard about him is true, that he's got a really advanced way of looking at the game, that, you know, the idea of leaning on a redshirt freshman next year isn't the worst thing in the world, because the way that this group is set up right now, I don't know what other option you have except to look at Tyler Elston, Kobe King, maybe one of these guys like a Ben Chismo, like maybe one of these guys who was a former walk-on. We've seen that before with the other Brandon Smith, for example. Jan Johnson was another good one. Maybe somebody else emerges. Maybe they go to the transfer portal. But as you look at this group right now, they're going to kind of have to struggle a little bit to find options for Ellis Brooks, whose production and whose presence on this defense was everywhere. You know, his role was everything, and he was such a good leader and such an instinctive player. Plugging in a redshirt freshman like Kobe King, you know, there's going to be a drop-off from that. Tyler Elston, you know, there's going to be a drop-off there. Curtis Jacobs, what do you do with him? You know, and so I think there are definitely more questions than there are answers at this point in time in this linebacker group. Even if you like these young guys a lot, you're still going to have to go through some growing pains when it comes to them learning and developing on the job. Jonathan Sutherland could be in this group if he makes kind of a full-time switch, and that'll bring stability. And I think giving him a full offseason to work and focus on that position, to get stronger, whatever he's got to do in the weight room to better prepare himself could help things quite a bit. But either way, you're looking at a group that's going to have, what it looks like, significantly less talent in that starting three. And you're going to have to see, I think, James Franklin at his most creative best to figure out solutions for this linebacker depth chart. You struggle looking at the options right now and to pinpoint three high-end starters, let alone three really good backups too. So I think there's a lot of work to be done at this linebacker group. And maybe there's a transfer portal option. Maybe there's somebody who's signed in this next signing day here that can help out. But they're going to have to get to work. They might have to lean on a young player or two. This isn't going to be the same group as it was last year. I don't really see any way around that.
Overall, transfer portal, I want an offensive lineman or two, and I want a linebacker. How about you?
I think those are the two most pressing things. If you can get an experienced defensive tackle, or if you can get an experienced defensive end to shore up those rotations, not necessarily stars, then I think you're in the right direction. But I think offensive line and linebacker would be priorities.
Very good, Dusty. That is it for quarter number three. Quarter number four, we're going to go deep into analytics like we did last week on the offense. This week, we are going to do it with the defense. You want to stick around for that conversation.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.